Blog Talk Radio.
Deeper truth. You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. In that song, The Burning Heart, you will see really is about this great saint. Today is Wednesday of the second week in ordinary time. It's January 18th. 2023. Charles of Assisi. Gracious and loving God, you call us to be stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted us. Help us to always use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously. Send the Holy Spirit to work through us, bringing your message to those we serve. Stewards of God's grace have unlimited resources to manage on behalf of Jesus Christ. Like St. Paul and St. Stephen, when full of grace, we are in a better position to allocate its riches. God gives his children grace to dispense to needy hearts. Consider, though retired into the remote parts of a desert, Saint Anthony of the desert often experienced the fiercest attacks of the devil. They would appear to him under a thousand frightful forms. The saint laughed at their impotence, and to put them to flight, simply contented himself with making the sign of the cross, saying to his disciples, "Believe me, Satan fears prayer and humility and the love of Jesus Christ. The mere sign of the cross suffices to banish him." And also Saint Patrick. Patrick and his companions appeared to walk through bolted doors to see the pagan king. Invited to sit down and parley, the pagan priest offered Saint Patrick a drink laced with poison. Knowing this, Saint Patrick did the sign of the cross over the cup, and immediately the drink went from being hot to ice, except the poison. Dumping out the poison, Saint Patrick again blessed the cup, and the drink returned to normal. With everyone watching, the king was converted. And so let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may our heart burn for love for Jesus and Mary and Joseph.
Waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. In the written scroll, it is prescribed for me to do your will. Oh my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
Today is Wednesday of the second week in ordinary time. In our scriptures for today, the first reading coming from Hebrews chapter 7. Melchizedek, king of Salem and priest of God Most High, met Abraham as he returned from his defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham apportioned to him a tenth of everything. His name first means righteous king. And he was also king of Salem, without father, mother, or ancestry, without beginning of days or end of life. Thus made to resemble the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. It is even more obvious if another priest is raised up after the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become so. Not by a law expressed in a commandment concerning physical descent, but by the power of life that cannot be destroyed, for it is testified, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Responsorial Sorrow, Psalms 110, coming from, You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. The scepter of your power, the Lord will stretch forth from Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. Yours is princely power in the day of your birth in holy splendor. Before the day star, like the dew, I have begotten you. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek. The Lord has sworn, and he will not repent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You are a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. To those who accepted him, he gave power to become children of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent, looking round at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel, and the Herodians against him, to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. St. Charles of Assisi. Charles, the son of lowly country folk, was born at Assisi in Italy on October 22, 1613. At the urgent request of his grandmother, the rearing of the child was entrusted to her, and the gentle boy acquired a great love of God and of prayer from the example and teaching of this devout lady. He grasped the truth of religion so readily that his parents entertained the sweet hope that Charles would later become a priest. His baptism was celebrated on 22 October 1613. His mother, when he was a toddler, liked to dress him in a dark tunic with a cord and hood in honor of friars St. Francis of Assisi and St. Anthony of Padua. And she kept this habit even after he outgrew it. Charles, the son of lowly country folk, and through his grandmother, child was entrusted to his grandmother, and the gentle boy acquired a great love of God and of prayer from the example and teaching of his grandmother. He grasped the truths of religion so readily. His parents did hope that he would become a priest. His family was extremely poor. They were extremely pious. They lived in a rural area, and as a child, St. Charles worked as a shepherd, and to his lack of education, it is said he learned only the basics and could barely read and write. He joined the Franciscans as a lay brother, where he served as a cook, a porter, and a gardener. And so he worked as a shepherd to help his parents with the exhaustive workload and life to plow because he liked the oxen. He made a private vow to remain chaste in 1630, and in 1633 fell ill to the point of near death, that he pledged to join the order of friars and minors if he were to be healed of his ailment. His parents encouraged his call to become a priest, but not read or write much, so there was no hope he would excel in advanced studies. But when Charles was old enough to go to school, his studies did not meet with marked success. So when his schooling ended, his parents were sensible enough to put him to work in the fields with his brothers. There, in God's free nature, a new light came to the boy. From books, he had not learned much, but he understood very well the wonders of God's creation. Everything conspired to raise his thoughts to heavenly things, so that his work was constantly mingled with interior prayer. He began to receive the sacraments more frequently and evinced real zeal for Christian perfection. Charles was assigned to a number of friaries in the Roman province, working at various jobs as a gardener, a cook. Friars who went out begging for alms and sacristan. He also devoted himself to intense prayer and works of charity. Our of veneration of the Virgin Mother of God, he made a vow of chastity at the age of 17. And he preserved it so faithfully that the beloved of pure souls, who feeds on the lilies, seemed to have his dwelling place in the heart of Charles. He was seized with a great desire for holiness. He read with delight the lives of the saints and related them to the others while at work. In the Franciscan church, which he often visited, he used to study the pictures of the saints with a desire to imitate them. And when he was 20 years old, he fell dangerously ill, so that his life was despaired of. Then he made a vow that if he was to recover, he would enter the Franciscan order. At once, his illness took a turn for the better. And true to his vow, although there was many hardships to overcome, Charles received the habit 2 years later. After his consecration to God through the vows, he advanced visibly, not only in piety, but in all the virtues of his state of life, so that even the oldest brothers were edified by him and followed his example. He ardently desired to shed his blood for Christ, and asked that he might be sent as a lay brother to the missions in India, but a new illness frustrated the design. In practical matters, Charles even often seemed to be awkward. Disaster waiting to happen. Once while cooking, oil in which he was frying onions burst into flames. This created a major fire in the friary. And then on the other hand, he developed a powerful spiritual insight into people and situations. He was sent to a convent in Rome so that he could fully recover his health. But here God Almighty destined him for another field of labor. He received remarkable enlightenment about things divine and about the truth of religion, so that the most learned theologians were astonished at it and consulted with him on some of the most difficult questions. The cardinals and even Pope Clement IX sought his advice. In compliance with the will of God, he also wrote several books about spiritual things. St. Charles was known for his holiness, simplicity, and charity. He was generous to travelers and sought out spiritual advice. Of the plague. He also wrote several mystical works, including the autobiography entitled The Grandeurs of the Mercies of God. And tradition states he was called to the bedside of the dying Pope Clement IX for a blessing. St. Charles told the Pope that he would meet again on January 6th. Once the guardian of a convent ordered Charles to give food only to traveling friars who came to the door. He did this in obedience, and alms to the friars decreased. He persuaded the guardian that the two facts were related. When the friars resumed helping all who requested assistance, offerings to the friars increased. Gradually, Charles' reputation spread. He was sought out for advice by prominent families and high ecclesiastics, including three popes. Charles thought that God was coming to him to be a missionary in India, but he never got there. God had something better for the 17th century successor to Brother Juniper. Charles tells us in his autobiography, he says, "Our Lord put in my heart a determination to become a lay brother with a great desire to be poor and to beg alms for his love." Unquote. And so he served as a beggar, a gardener, and a sacristan at various friaries in Italy. In some ways, he was, as they said, he was an accident waiting to happen. And on 28 July 1665, he had a vision of Pope Victor I and Teresa of Avila. And at the direction of his confessor, Charles wrote his autobiography again, The Commanders of the Mercies of God. And he wrote several other spiritual works. And remember, Charles, he could barely read and write. And he was not well educated. And now he is being sought for all kinds of, three popes and a lot of high society was seeking for his advice. And the dying Pope Clement IX called Charles to be to his bedside for a blessing. Now, this is incredible. And so, despite his lack of education, Charles began to put his insights into writing. Besides an extensive correspondence, he wrote a number of devotional works described as solid, spiritual. Wow. Charles had a firm sense of God's providence and a preset of him. By word and example, he recalled in all the need of pursuing only that which is eternal. And again, Pope Clement IX summoned him to his deathbed for comfort and a blessing not long before the two men died. In the first week of December 1669, the Pope summoned him, but the friar was ill, so was taken to the Pope on a chair. He greeted the Pope, "Holy Father, how are you?" And the Pope responded, "As well as God wants me to be." The Pope wanted the frail friar to bless him, and so he did. Clement IX asked when the two would meet again, and the friar told him it would be on the Feast of the Epiphany, to which those present thought the Pope would get well, and the two would meet in a month. But the Pope died on 9 December, and people questioned how the friar was wrong through this, though after the friar died on the Epiphany itself, it was realized the Pope would greet him as a friend in heaven. Thus, the two met again. In October 1648, he attended Mass, when a beam of light emanated from an elevated host that pierced his side and left a visible open wound at his side. Hence that song that I played at the beginning, The Burning Heart. Wow, let me read this again. In October 1648, he attended Mass with a beam of light emanating from an elevated host that pierced his side and left a visible open wound at his side. Wow. At the same time, the pious brother remained deeply humble. Concerning his remarkable gift of enlightenment, he used to say to himself that our Lord in his wisdom hides such things from the wise, but reveals them to the simple, to which class he belonged. He so fervently adored the Lord, his Lord under the appearance of bread that one day a ray of light, like an arrow, went out from the sacred host and impressed a wound in his left side. And this wound was still visible after his death. Wow. The friar had predicted that Innocent the X and Alexander the VII would be elected as popes, and likewise predicted Clement the IX would be elected as well. But he also managed to predict that Cardinal Emilio Altieri would be elected as pope, which happened not long after his death. On 31 December 1669, he was forced to his bed due to pleurisy. On 6 January 1670, he died in the convent attached to the San Francisco A. Ripa in Rome. He was buried in that church where a chapel dedicated to his name still hosts his remains. He's incorrupt. His devotion to the Lord and love of the Eucharist was such that he was graced with a mystical wound on his heart. Throughout his life, Charles demonstrated the virtues of charity and self-giving love to all he encountered. Though he kept himself under the guidance of a spiritual director for himself, he was not a priest. But yet, he was often sought for spiritual advice, and even Pope Innocent X and Alexander VII sought him out for advice. In 1656, he tended to victims of cholera. On 22 August 1664, he was at San Pietro and Montero when he fell ill with malaria fever, and so was taken to San Francisco A. Ripa to recuperate. He recovered on 30 August after bed rest was prescribed to him. On 28 July 1665, he had a vision of Pope St. Victor I and St. Teresa of Avila. In other words, God was not done with him yet. Wow, that's amazing. His beatification was celebrated in 1882, while Pope Pius XII approved his canonization in 1958. But the Pope died before he could canonize the friar, so his successor, Pope John XXIII, did so on 12 April 1959. In the ratification of two miracles attributed to his intercession on 1 October 1881, allowed for Leo XIII to preside over the beatification ceremony on 22 January 1882 in St. Peter's Basilica. Pope Pius XII confirmed the two additional miracles on 7 January 1958, but died before he could canonize the friar, which Pope John XXIII canonized him on 12 April 1959 as a saint. And St. Charles died on January 6, 1670 in Rome of natural causes, fulfilling his promise to meet Pope Clement IX, and he is buried in Rome in the Church of St. Francis. He was canonized again by Pope, only one time, but by Pope John XXIII on April 12, 1959. And so, the confirmation of his life of heroic virtue allowed for Pope Clement XIV to title the late Franciscan friar as venerable on 14 June 1772, while the ratification of two miracles attributed to his intercession on 1 October 1881 allowed for Pope Leo XIII. Look at all these popes who were involved in his canonization process, to preside over the beatification ceremony on 22 January 1882 in St. Peter's Basilica. And so Pope Pius XII confirmed two additional miracles on 7 January 1958, but he died before he could canonize a friar, and then he was canonized by Pope John the 23rd on 12 April 1959 as a saint. And St. Charles teaches us the way to oppose the devil and all the fallen angels in their warfare against our souls. Very few will ever be asked to suffer bodily harm from the devil, but all must suffer and overcome his temptations to pride, lust, and ambition. Although he was quite unlettered, still, through the ever-increasing influence of the Holy Spirit, he wrote books that make him one of the greatest mystical writers of the Church, ranking him with St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila. Even had a vision of St. Teresa there. And these are some of the words coming from St. Charles. Our Lord put in my heart a determination to become a lay brother with a great desire to be poor and to beg alms for his love. God does not command us to live in hair shirts and chains or to chastise our flesh with scourges, but to love him above all things and our neighbor as ourselves. Now, that's very biblical, isn't it? The prayer of the sick man and his patience and his acceptance of the sickness for the love of Christ. And so, St. Charles' whole life was a prayer in what he said and what he did. From being a shepherd to being a farmer or to being a friar, and even cooking, doing all the menial tasks. And that was at hand. He did everything. He did it all and made it all a prayer. And so thank you, Lord, for the gifts of these great saints, as St. Charles says. And St. Charles, pray for us. Pray for us. And that burning heart that he had for the love of Jesus. That was just so on fire, right, for this saint, that song. Burning love, burning heart. Not burning love. No. Don't get confused with the song. Burning heart. Well, Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. My God, I believe, I adore, and I hope, and I love you, and I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, nor do not love you. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, under the earth, by all the creatures of God, by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Excuse me. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen. And so, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And like St. Charles of Assisi, may our lives be a day of prayer in all that we say and all that we do. And may our lives be such an example for all to see Jesus and our Lord in you. Make the Mass the center of your life. Grow in love with Jesus in the Eucharist, as St. Charles did. Open your heart for love of Him, that burning love that the saints exhibit. St. Martin de Tours, rising from a kneeling posture, he turned his eyes towards the deceased and said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise and stand upon your feet." And at the sound of this glorious word from the saint, the soul returned to the body, and the person that was dead opened his eyes and revived. So as we began, let us close. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And again, to pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. Have a devotion to the rosary. Love our Lord and our Lady and Saint Joseph. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, God bless you all. Good day.